Good morning. Welcome to Aegea Saneamento e Participações Q4 and Full Year 2024 Earnings Webcast. Joining us today are CEO Mr. Radamés Kaseb and CFO and IRO André Pires. This webcast is being recorded and simultaneously translated into English. You can access the translation by clicking the interpretation button at the bottom side of your Zoom screen. If you're listening to the conference in English, you can also mute the original Portuguese audio by selecting Mute Original Audio. We will now begin the earnings presentation, which will be followed by a Q&A session when further instructions will be provided. Before moving on, we would like to clarify that any statement made during this conference regarding Aegea's business outlook, projections, and targets are based on the company's management's beliefs and assumptions. They are not performance guarantees, seeing as they involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions relating to future events that may or may not materialize. I will now turn over to Mr. Radamés Kaseb, who will begin the presentation. Mr. Kaseb, please proceed.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Aegea's earnings release. We will start on slide three, where we outline some of the highlights. Considering the Aegea ecosystem, which reflects the performance of the concessions managed by the company, we ended 2024 with a 13% growth in net revenue, reaching 16 billion reais, and a 26% increase in EBITDA, totaling 8 billion reais. This performance stemmed from the combination of our portfolio profile, which enables consistent growth through operational efficiency enhancements and the expansion of our customer base, and our inorganic growth initiatives. Overall, we invested 10.4 billion reais throughout the year, including paid concession fees. Of this amount, 5.4 billion reais corresponds to CapEx allocated to our concessions, to expansion works in our water and sewage network, to improvements in existing infrastructure, and to other direct investments in the assets we operate. We paid a total of 5 billion reais in concession fees, with emphasis on the final installment for Águas do Rio, which amounted to 3.8 billion reais. With this, we fulfilled all payment obligations relating to the 2021 bidding process, which totaled 16.6 billion reais paid to the state of Rio de Janeiro. Following our growth trajectory, in 2024, we initiated four new operations and won two bids: the PPP for sewage services in Sanepar's Lot 1 and the water and sewage concession for 224 municipalities in Piauí, both with contracts already signed. With these operations, we expanded our services to over 33 million people across 766 municipalities in 15 states of the country. In the year, we reached the milestone of 13.8 million households served, an increase of 1 million versus 2023 and 6 million over 2022. We've performed over 100 million services, including connections, meter readings, customer service connections, and other field operations to serve our clients. Now, moving to slide four, we highlight some ESG initiatives. From a social perspective, in 2024, we reached 2 million people benefiting from the social tariff, thereby promoting accessibility to our service, as well as citizenship and dignity. We've made progress in initiatives to reduce our operations' power consumption and in projects to supply our own clean energy. Currently, 98% of the energy we consume comes from renewable sources. We ended the year with 22,000 employees, 3,000 more than in 2023, maintaining our focus on local hiring and in promoting diversity and inclusion, leaving a legacy of shared prosperity in the municipalities where we operate. Climate events throughout 2024 challenged our rapid response capacity and our operational efficiency. Facing floods in the state of Rio Grande do Sul and drought in the state of Manaus, our team demonstrated agility and diligence, acting quickly to ensure the continuity of operations for Cosan and Águas de Manaus. Since our operation encompasses the full water cycle, our role in preserving this essential resource is pivotal. Strengthening our water resilience, we saved 5.3 billion liters of water through our loss reduction program. That volume would be enough to supply, for an entire year, a population of about 1.3 million people. That's the equivalent of a large city like Porto Alegre or Belém. Finally, we should highlight the role of sanitation in the environmental transformation of aquatic systems, generating wealth through the revival of tourism, real estate valuation, and leisure opportunities for the population. That was the case with the recovery of Lagoa Geral-Uama in the Lagos region of Rio de Janeiro. And we can now speak proudly of the transformation promoted in the city of Rio de Janeiro by Águas do Rio, which has completed 3 years of operation. In a short time, the city's population has already benefited from the restoration of historically degraded ecosystems such as Flamengo Beach, Gloria Beach, Paquetá Island, and the Rodrigo de Freitas Lagoon. These are concrete cases of the transformative power of sanitation and its crucial role in water preservation and biodiversity conservation. Now, I will turn over to André, who will continue the presentation. André, please take it away. Thank you, Radamés, and good morning, everyone. Starting with slide 5, before diving into the results, we'd like to detail the ecosystem perspective as presented in our report. Over the past few years, Aegea has established itself as an investment platform in the sanitation sector, attracting structured capital to support its business expansion. In this context, corporate structures were developed that are not fully consolidated in the company's financial statements. Therefore, both in this presentation and in our earnings release, we will present and comment on results from two different perspectives. Corporate, which reflects our consolidated financial statements, and Aegea Managed Ecosystem, which includes the corporate view plus the results of our non-consolidated affiliates, Águas do Rio and Parson. Also in this slide, in the charts at the bottom of the page, we highlight the diversification of our ecosystem, both in terms of revenue and EBITDA. Moving on to slide 6, we highlight our operational results. The expansion of our coverage and integration of new assets led to an 8% increase in the number of households in our ecosystem, reaching 14 million, whereas in the corporate view, growth was by 12%. As a result, the ecosystem's build volume increased by 10% throughout the year. From the corporate perspective, in turn, growth came to 49%, driven by the rise in new connections and the full consolidation of Cursa in 2024. Now, moving on to slide 7, we discuss our financial performance. Our ecosystem's net revenue came to 16 billion reais in 2024, up 13%, driven by higher billed volume, tariff adjustments, and increased compensation revenue from the PPPs. From the corporate perspective, the increase was by 46%, again reflecting the same factors in addition to the extended consolidation period of Cursa. The company's average ticket, which considers the revenue from our water and sewage services, and PPPs per household rose by 7% from an ecosystem perspective, ending 2024 at 1,281 reais per household per year. From a corporate perspective, in turn, the increase was by 5%, totaling 1,154 reais per household per year. Now moving on to slide 8, we discuss our costs and expenses. In the ecosystem, despite the expansion of our operations and services we provide, our costs and expenses increased by 3%, which is below the 4.8% inflation rate measured by the IPCA for the year. From the corporate perspective, the increase was by 44%, given the longer consolidation period of Corsan. Our OPEX per connection was 459 reais in the ecosystem, a 16% reduction versus 2023, and 379 from a corporate perspective, a 26% reduction. This reflects the introduction of efficacy measures, including the voluntary dismissal or voluntary severance program at Corsan, migration to self-generation energy contracts, optimizations in procurement processes, and other initiatives. Now over to slide 9, where we discuss our EBITDA and marginal cash flow. Our adjusted EBITDA, from an ecosystem perspective, came to 8 billion reais in 2024, a 26% increase, primarily driven by higher build volume, tariff adjustments, and efficiency initiatives. These measures also contributed to a 76% increase in cash generation. From a corporate perspective, our adjusted EBITDA grew 41% over the year, whereas cash generation increased 2 billion reais. In addition to the factors impacting our ecosystem, this performance was positively influenced by the full consolidation period at Corsan. Now moving on to slide 10, we discuss our net income and CapEx. Our ecosystem's net income reached 1.4 billion reais, up 4% versus 2023. From a corporate perspective, our net income, which includes equity equivalents and dividends declared by Águas do Rio, totaled 2 billion reais. Over the year, we invested 5.4 billion reais in CapEx for network expansion, infrastructure improvements, and capacity enhancements. Including paid concession fees, our investment rounded out at 10.4 billion reais, up 5.9 billion versus 2023. At the bottom of the slide, we list the concession fees paid throughout the year, highlighting the final installment paid for Águas do Rio, which totaled 3.8 billion paid in October 2024. Now, moving on to slide 11, we discuss Aegea's capital structure. We ended 2024 with a pro forma net debt of $34 billion, and leverage measured by the net debt to EBITDA ratio at 4.3 times. It should be noted that the increase in leverage in Q4 2024 had already been anticipated in our business plan, given the final installment paid for the Águas do Rio concession. From a corporate perspective, which serves as the benchmark for Aegea's contractual financial covenants, we ended the year with a leverage ratio of 2.8 times, significantly below the 3.5 times limit established in the most restrictive financial agreements. Looking at the chart at the bottom left side of the slide, where we show our debt maturity over the medium term and ecosystem leverage, notice that our leverage has peaked in years where concession fee payments were more significant. In the coming years, we will remain on a deleveraging trajectory, striving to streamline unconsolidated structures. The average debt maturity from our ecosystem perspective was 7.4 years in 2024. It should also be noted that the refinancing of Parsan is close to being concluded. This will extend the maturity of a 3.2 billion obligation, which is currently classified as short term, to 5 years. Additionally, we expect to settle $600 million. We expect to settle the $600 million blue syndicated loan with domestic and international lenders later this month, further diversifying our funding sources. With that, I conclude my presentation, and we're now available for questions. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now begin the Q&A session for analysts and investors. If you have a question, please send it in writing using the Q&A icon. Remember to include your name and the name of your company. Questions will be addressed in the order that they are received. Please wait as we poll for questions.
Our first question from Andre Luftala was, "Hello everyone, how are you? Congratulations on your results. Could you please talk about the increase in delinquency? Also, if you could talk about the CapEx level that you expect for 2025 and how that impacts your company's capital structure, that would also be great." Well, with regard to the delinquency, there's actually not been an increase if we look at 2024 versus 2023. So from what we call at IGEA the corporate perspective, delinquency has actually gone down from 0.7 to 0.4%. Now, if we were to look at what we our delinquency from what we call the IGEA ecosystem, that was flat at about 9%, and actually versus the last quarter, it went from 9.7 to 9.4%. Also, when we look at delinquency specifically at Águas do Rio, the provision for bad debts from the net results also remained steady. And I think it has been steady in Rio de Janeiro and tends to go down and has gone down substantially when we look at IGEA from a corporate perspective. IGEA, excluding Corsan, has an average delinquency over net capital that's very low. It's pulling down, the number's going down, seeing as delinquency over earnings is 0.1%. So from a trend perspective, there's not been an increase in delinquency. As for our CapEx, we could expect something similar to what we saw in 2024. In a few concessions, we see a trend of increase in coverage. We see that in Manaus and also Corsan, as well as Teresina, but also in Rio de Janeiro. And it's a similar trend to what we saw in 2024. There's no significant impact on our cash generation from a capital structure perspective. And the earnings we've generated have been enough to sustain that. We talked about our deleveraging, which should continue over the course of 2025. The uptick we saw in Q4 was essentially because of the last installment of the concession fee in Rio de Janeiro. But generally speaking, we continue to be able to reduce our leverage, which is what we've seen over the last few years.
Again, if you have a question, please use the Q&A button at the bottom side of your screen, and remember to include your name and the name of your question. Please wait as we poll for questions.
I will read the question from Jeff with RBC Blue Bay. Jeff asks if we could comment on the Águas do Rio results in Q4, and also that for the year of 2024. He mentions Águas do Rio 1 moved significantly higher, while Águas do Rio 4 moved much lower. Well, Jeff, in this case, the most significant effect was by a court decision in our favor in Q4 with regard to what we call hybrid customers. There was a ruling that prevented us from cuts in debts that had matured several years past, and there was a difference with regard to how these customers were billed. That previous decision was overturned in our favor, and starting in Q4 of 2024, that allowed us to renegotiate these customers' outstanding charges, which are essentially in Águas do Rio 1. So there was a significant impact in our provision for doubtful accounts, which affected our result for Águas do Rio 1. Águas do Rio 4 continued to grow at the same pace, but obviously with Águas do Rio 1, this specific impact relative to this court ruling affected what we call these hybrid tariffs. Again, if you have a question, please use the Q&A button to submit your question in writing. Questions will be addressed in the order that they are received. Please wait as we poll for questions. Next question comes from Alejandra with J.P. Morgan. It was also asked in English, but I'll read it in Portuguese. Alejandra had two questions. She asks first how we are thinking about our new concessions given the higher interest rate environment. Second, she asks whether we are considering any additional financing over the syndicated funding I mentioned earlier, and if there's any possibility of liability management on the USD bonds, US dollar bonds. So to your first point, Alejandra, we are still considering the opportunities and projects coming into the market. The pipeline for new concessions is robust for 2025 and potentially also 2026. Again, the high interest rates are a factor we take into account when assessing a potential involvement in these projects. However, when we look at our history with regards to these concession projects, regardless of these higher interest rates, return rates have been significant for us to weather these more capital-intensive projects. So we see projects where the return rate is significant enough to consider being involved, but also the capital cost. We consider our cost discipline an important pillar for us, and along those lines, we avoid being involved in projects that will significantly impact our leverage. It's important to remember that in the latest projects we were involved, we always had strong capital sources to help finance these projects, and that's whether we rely on our shareholders or other sources in the market, which was the case with the privatization of Corsan. So any project in Brazil will involve additional funding sources, and we will only be involved in projects that will not affect our leverage in a significant way. As to your second point about liability management and bonds, this is a market we're always monitoring. We keep an eye out for new opportunities. Obviously, we consider funding costs, considering the interest rates and the US dollar exchange rate. And with all of that in mind, if there's any opportunity to extend our maturities overseas with our two outstanding bonds, that's something we'll consider, but at this point, there's nothing ongoing along these lines. Again, if you have a question, please use the Q&A icon at the bottom side of your Zoom screen. Questions will be addressed in the order that they are received. Please wait as we pull for questions. Again, if you have a question, please use the Q&A icon. Please wait as we pull for questions. We have a question by Gabriel Fonseca with Drees Capital. He asks, could you give us more details about the reasons why revenue collection in Águas do Rio has declined? Also, well, we've addressed this. We talked that the hybrid tariffs are the most significant impact. There was also a question about the CapEx with Águas do Rio, why it has slowed down. Well, as for the decrease in revenue collection in Águas do Rio, there's not been actually a decrease in revenue, but actually an advance in our COGS, which is significant for us to calculate our accounts open for a specific time frame. So there's been an acceleration in our cuts to that. And as we cut off these customers, we cannot charge them until we renegotiate. So that has a significant impact on Q4. And if we look at a longer time frame, our cash conversion is going up in Águas do Rio to over 80% when we look at it from a longer for a longer horizon. As to the expected credit losses, I've talked about it already. And as for CapEx, looking specifically at Q4, what may have happened in your assessment are issues related to the stoppage at Mandu and other aspects that delayed investments. But if you look at it from a consolidated perspective, in comparison with 2023, that remains steady. There's been a significant increase between 2022 and 2023. It's been steady versus 2023. CapEx for Águas do Rio was $1.6 billion, and we expect that pace to remain unchanged both in 2025 and 2026. Please wait as we pull for questions. We'll now take the question from Macaulay Smith with 91. He addresses five topics. We'll try to go over each one of them. His first question is, what is the expected timeline for consolidating Águas do Rio? His second question, if we could comment on the potential acquisition of Copasa, which is something you saw on headlines. Third, what was our decision to raise debt in local markets recently, given the higher domestic rates versus coming to the international capital markets? Fourth, he asks if we have any plans to revisit the international bond market in 2025. Along the same lines of Alejandro's question. And lastly, what percentage of debt is exposed to floating rates? I will try to address each one of these topics in context. Well, the expected timeline for consolidating Águas do Rio remains the same through 2026. When we look at our long-term plan, we should be ready to consolidate Águas do Rio in 2026. This has always been our forecast between 2025 and 2026, and I think I can say that it is most likely to take place in 2026. As for acquiring Copasa, just as with other projects in our pipeline, which we continue to assess, obviously, if the government of Minas Gerais decides to consider privatizing Copasa, just as we looked into getting involved in the sale of Sabesp, we will consider this as well. Copasa is an important company, an important utility in the state of Minas Gerais, and whenever there's a project that we consider would be interesting for us to get involved, that's what we will do. So far, no decision has been made, but this is a topic we are monitoring very closely. As to our debt in the local markets, in fact, we have not raised funds in the local market. We had two rounds of funding, which are actually being concluded this week, one of which was to refinance our acquisition finance for Corsan, where we are refinancing and extending the maturity in the local market. But this is this was originally a debt in the local market, but we have changed the spread versus the original time frame. Second was a syndicated loan with 15 banks. And this is, in effect, an international funding because it involves banks that mostly do not operate in Brazil and which tap into their international funds to participate. Now, because we are a company whose revenue is 100% in Brazilian reais, we had this round of funding in SOFR, but we hedged it in reais. It involves a floating rate in Brazilian real, and that aligns with your last two questions, thinking about our liability management in 2025. That's something that's always in our mind. We are not considering anything in specific at this point, but this is something that if the opportunity arises, we can consider doing. As to our exposure in floating rates, when we look at the Selic rate, the benchmark interest rate, we have about 55% exposure in floating rates. The rest is in rates that have a fixed rate, but which are corrected by inflation, especially infrastructure, debenture bonds. So these debentures are substantially what we call inflation plus something, so IPCA plus something else, 55% CDI, 45% between fixed and inflation indexation. So that's how it is structured. Again, if you have a question, please send it in writing using the Q&A icon. Questions will be addressed in the order that they are received. Please wait as we pull for questions. I'll try to combine two questions from Pedro and Enrique. Both ask about the EBITDA margin with Águas do Rio. So the main challenges, and also Kaique asks how we see the margins for Águas do Rio over time, and what are the priorities with this concession in the next few quarters. I think that when talking about the evolution of this margin, we first have to take a step back and think about a few differences between Águas do Rio and our other concessions. In the case of Águas do Rio, we actually pay for the water that's distributed to us by SEDAI. That involves a cost that's about six times higher than what it costs on average for AGEA to supply its water. On average, that's 40 cents per cubic meter, and in the case of Sedai, 2.40 reais per cubic meter. So this purchase of water and our OPEX line actually limits the increase of our EBITDA line close to what we have with other concessions. Just to give you an idea, in concessions we operate for longer and where we've already achieved universalization, such as Águas do Iroba, the EBITDA margin is over 75%. In the case of Iroba, 75%. So Águas do Rio is now evolving when it comes to expanding its margins in recent times. That is close to 30%, 32% in consolidated terms in the year of 2024. We should also consider that the sales programs we have run in Águas do Rio also involve cost acceleration programs and increase in revenue because of these programs. We should remember that we inherited from Sedai a host of active customers operating in two blocks involving over 900 connections. And we now operate 1 million connections. And so all of these new connections, which were added to our portfolio, so to speak, involve a process to convert these consumers into customers. And obviously, there's a point where you accelerate using important tools such as those cuts to be able to renegotiate those accounts. That's the natural process and falls into our expectations within our business plan. And when we consider our history and our experience in places such as Manaus, we are now beginning to see this curve mature starting in year five. We are now just over the end of the third year of this concession. So within everything within plan, within our plan for Águas do Rio. Again, along the same lines as the same two last two questions, I just wanted to add to what I said about Águas do Rio. The first question from Jeff with Blue Bay: why has the margin for Águas do Rio 1 gone? Águas do Rio 4 has declined in Q4. And the second question: whether the Águas do Rio 1 margin is sustainable going forward? I think these are questions that I've already addressed. In the case of Águas do Rio 4, the acceleration in cuts and consequently the lack of possibility of renegotiate contracts until that the process of renegotiation is regularized, that's what effectively took place with Águas do Rio 4. And when we look at Águas do Rio 1, that effect has also taken place. When we look at our provision for doubtful credits, because of our legal lawsuit with clients with hybrid tariffs, that allowed us to reverse a significant amount. Now, when we combine the two and think of a strategy going forward, the combined margin between 30 and 35% should be the regular expected margin for Águas do Rio at large, excluding those one-offs that we had to deal with in Q4. Again, if you have a question, please use the Q&A icon. Please wait as we pull for questions. Pedro with Ocon asks about the margin increase, the EBITDA, adjusted EBITDA margin increase with Corsan in Q4, and asks how much of that can be considered recurring. Now, Pedro, I'd say that these gains could be considered recurring. The benefit that we've enjoyed I mean. And I would say that the process of adjusting our cost per employee with Corsan versus the cost with employees at Aegea is a process that hasn't ended. There are still gains to be seized based on this strategy. If we look at the figures for the last 2 years, in terms of headcount, we went from 5,600 people in December of 2022. We effectively took over in mid-year 2023 to 7,330 employees in 24. There's actually been an increase in headcount between 23 and 24 because of the primarization of outsourced services that were included in the first stage of voluntary severance contracts. But we had a decrease of 55% in those expenses between 23 and 24. Also, the decrease in cost with personnel expenses was by 55%. If we look at that in it on the at the individual level, the decrease was also by close to 50%. And if we include personnel expenses plus outsourced services, the decrease was also by 50%. So I would say that the most significant contributor to this margin expansion since we took over has been, in effect, the adjustment in the company's cost structure, bearing in mind that the next significant stage to capture value with Corsan will be with the opening. We've already started, but it's still in initial phase. When we started looking at all of these municipalities, there's a 23% discount. So the sewage coverage is at early stages. We are still restructuring the company's capital with two capital raising programs over the last 2 months to be able to weather a long-term debt. And we're also discussing with other agencies to be able to finance the CapEx for the years, which is as high as 20 billion for the next 15 years. Again, if you have a question, just use the Q&A button. Please wait as we poll for more questions. I'd like to combine a few more questions asked about our losses. We have a question from Leonardo, for example. He says, "We see losses by over 40% at Águas do Rio and Águas do Rio and Corsan. Do we expect this figure to go down in the next few quarters?" We also have a question by Enrique about the losses in Corsan and also other questions relative to losses. Essentially, in the case of Águas do Rio, for us, the loss reduction process is very significant. Again, the cost of purchasing Águas do Rio is the largest item in our OpEx line, and this loss of distribution index has already decreased significantly from over 60% to just below 50%. And we see the same pace with Corsan. I think in his initial remarks, Radamés mentioned that this loss in distribution represents 53 billion liters, which represents a yearly supply of over 3 million people cities such as Porto Alegre. So both operational losses where we have, for example, leaks in cities like Rio de Janeiro, and now both of these concessions are undergoing a program for assessment of leaks, partnering with a Israeli company whose satellites screen the underground for any water containing chloride to indicate a leak so that we have accurate, a more accurate system to fix the pipes, and also other types of assessments that we're conducting to reduce those losses. So obviously, there are many concessions that are in the process of maturing, but always looking at the more mature ones, we see losses under 20%. So it is a process. And it starts once we actually start operating a concession that hasn't matured yet. If you have a question, please submit it in writing using the Q&A icon. Questions will be addressed in the order that they are received. Please wait as we poll for more questions. Mario Lorenzo with Polo Capital asks, what's the timeline with payments for the grant fees? What's the timetable like? And what do you expect for the next few years? Well, the most important is POE. We paid $250 million with the contract. So that's $250 million with the contract signing, $250 million when we actually take over the concession, which is to take place by mid-year. And the rest is paid at in 20 installments. So in the case of POE, we are in the engagement process. Usually there is a target for distribution loss reduction. I do not have the figures here with me, but we can ask our IR team to talk to you later. But we'll also have targets for POE, just as we have for other places. As to other grant fees, POE is the most significant one. We should also bear in mind that regulating or normalizing the contracts with COSUN may involve another grant fee should the city normalize these contracts or regularize these contracts. Now, because we have normalized close to 80% of the COSUN revenue, which is about 50% of all the municipalities, what's coming over is not substantial. Since we took over these 280 cities, we've invested substantially in these grant fees. So moving forward, except for POE, there's nothing significant. I think the most significant part is already behind us, especially the last installment for Aguas do Rio, which we paid in October 2024. This concludes the Q&A session. I will now turn over to Mr. Kaseb for the company's final remarks. Radames, please proceed. We ended 2024 with major achievements and transformations under our belt, thanks to the efforts of our employees and over 10 billion reais we invested in the sector. We have grown with quality, maintaining our financial discipline and solid business governance. This allows us to secure the necessary resources for continued growth. We now operate in 766 municipalities across 15 states in the country, positively impacting the lives of over 33 million people. This fills us with pride and reinforces our commitment to operational efficiency and service quality, promoting health, inclusive sanitation, and environmental recovery. For 2025, we renew our belief in sanitation as a driver of social and environmental transformation, and we remain steadfast in our journey of generating value and increasing our investments in the industry. We'd like to thank everyone for joining us for this earnings release, and we look forward to seeing you next time. This concludes today's earnings webcast. On behalf of Aegea, we would like to thank everyone for joining and wish you all a great day.